Spring is finally here, and that means a new season of Yes, We Are Open. This season, Al goes west. West to Calgary, Banff, and Canmore for more motivational stories of small business owners, their trials and triumphs. Settle in for 8 new weekly stories of perseverance over adversity. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or get started at yesweareopenpodcast.com.
Hiring Al, good and you, not so bad. Squirrely Matt here. Whether you're just tuning in or you're revisiting old episodes, thank you for your incredible support of the Produce Stand podcast. That's what we appreciate about you. Now we have a small favor to ask. We're putting together some best of TPS episodes. That's where you come in. We want to hear from you. If you come across or have a favorite TPS clip, origin story, standout interview moment, or port near anything you deem to be wondrous, reach out through any of our socials and let us know. Now, we have a lot of content, so specify the episode and timestamp. Please and thank you. With that out of the way, let's get back to our regularly scheduled content. Bitter patter.
Hey, everybody. Trace from the Takeover team here. Tonight, we continue our series spotlighting each of the hosts of the Produce Stand. Tanya Grego, the fairy pod mother herself. First glance, it would be easy to lament her status as the lone lady at the sausage party, reluctantly dragged into the seedy world of Letterkenny. But then someone gave this loving and devoted wife and mother of two a live mic and free rein, and well, a star was born. On a show whose humor goes from a royal to an almost navy blue, it's pretty telling that some of the dirtiest comments and jokes come from Tanya herself. Casey, of course, is back for a little ladies talk. But don't worry, she'll still be asking the tough questions. From the inexplicable draw of Portuguese dudes to the invariably always being distracted by the D, it's Tan's turn in the hot seat tonight. This is Behind the Produce Stand with Tanya Grego.
That fresh produce stand there, that's a beauty.
What do you listen to?
My favorite murder podcast.
Taggart and Torrance podcast.
The Produce Stand.
Fucking sexy.
It's Thirsty Thursday. Part due for patrons. And that means you're hanging out with us at the Produce Stand, a podcast celebrating everything in the universe. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are plenty of other Letterkenny podcasts out there, but this one is all about the ladies.
Yeah.
I'm Casey, and joining me in the Zoom tonight, Tanya.
Hi, Casey. It's so great to see you. Oh, my goodness. Trace, much love to you. That was a great, not a limerick, though. It was just a great intro. Great intro.
Behind the scenes, don't get limericks. Love it. Special Al Grego style introductions.
My cheeks hurt. My cheeks are sore. I was smiling and laughing so much. So much love. That's great.
So everybody give it up for Tanya.
Wondrous.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Wait.
I regret nothing.
Welcome to your own podcast, Tanya.
Why, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Distinct pleasure. Since this entire episode is going to be a big fat, how are you now?
All right.
Where is it? Oh, thanks for not putting that up at the top. Anyway. Okay. there it is.
How are you now?
We're going to do a little bit of housekeeping and then we'll jump right in. Okay.
I'm following your lead.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the flexibility. We'll talk about that later.
Hey there, how are you now? Good and you? Not so bad. You want to talk about Kutmari? Coffee. I was going to say coffee, Squirrely Dan, as in diabolical coffee.
Okay, I am sorry for my outburst earlier.
Apology accepted, cunt. Now, as I was saying, they got the stuff at the produce stand. Isn't that right, Dickskin?
Dickens. And maybe we should let Glenn handle the read?
Well, it is devilishly good coffee and diabolically awesome swag. And speaking of swag, I've designed some new t-shirts. Want to see?
There's a roast for all tastes. You can order bean, whole bean. Can I get a course? We've got a course. Let's get standard grind. Standard grind going once. We got espresso in the back.
Hiccups really should be part of this conversation.
Use the promo code PRODUCESTAND for not 10, not 15, but 20.
That's 20% off the purchase of any coffee or merch.
What if I get a bit of both?
Well, then that's 20% off your total purchase for a grand total of 20% off.
Sold!
Speaking of merch, I've got these t-shirts.
That's enough, Pastor. Last time I had coffee this good, I was down Minikin with a few buddies. These tasties. McMurray! Thank you, Diabolical Coffee and Eric, for your support.
Thank you, Eric, for always supporting the pod, despite the fact that the takeover team hijacks it every now and then. And thank you, everyone on Twitter, insert really old names here, for following and hopefully for listening. Oh, gosh.
Previously on Letterkenny.
What has happened? Last week, we talked about the May 2-4 episode. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
We did. Okay. Yeah. It seems like it was a really long time ago.
It does. It does. It was a long, short week again. It was.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, yeah, you had a long weekend. How was your long weekend?
Oh, yeah. That was Monday. Yeah. The long weekend was hard because I've had a bit of a week. I won't spend a lot of time in it, but I ended my 12-week program with my coach, who is also one of my really good friends. And I have a really hard time with like perceived long goodbyes. I don't like letting go of people I like.
Yeah.
And if I love you, good luck. You're really going to have to like hurt me in order for me to like be able to let you go. And I'm pretty tough. So I was kind of like bummed a little bit. So the boys and I were also recovering from the play that Nick was in. So I was already not planning on doing much this weekend. And then Monday, I like literally did nothing.
Nothing.
I stayed in bed.
Good.
I got up to shower, make myself food, and then I get back in bed. Not like depressed, just not doing anything.
I have taken more of those days, which I never did before, because I was always like go, go, go. And now I recognize those days are needed. Like when you go as much as we do, it's like you need a day to stop. Not depressed stop, just stop. I don't want to do anything. I'm not responding. I'm just doing me. And I'll get back to you tomorrow. Okay. Maybe.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
So how about you? How's your week been?
Oh my, this week, what did we do this week? I don't even remember. I fixed a door, which I told you about today, because I was so bloody excited and happy with myself. I feel like I was channeling
about
you.
What happened.
I was like, channeling you, because your whole story about how you fixed your dishwasher, it stayed with me. That story was such a great story. And I was like, you know what? This door, I've been fighting with my screen door. We've actually been pricing it out to replace the whole thing, because we're like, okay, this is not fixable.
Right.
And Alan ended up having the toolbox out, and I came in today and I was like, today, and I woke up in a great mood because I was seeing you today. We did an interview with Kalani Rose, which I was ridiculously excited about. So excited that I babbled my whole way through it. So that, please don't listen to me. I totally did. Anyways, I was so psyched up for it. I think that's what happened to me. I was just like, it didn't work. Anyways, I fixed my screen door. I took that screwdriver. I'm like, well, it's already broken. So even if I break it more, if the whole thing falls apart, fine. But I was going to replace it anyways. And I was ridiculously giddy with myself for fixing the door. And it's now closing and working. And I've just been patting myself on the back the whole damn day. Like I'm a Grammy winner. I'm a Grammy winner just because I fixed the screen door.
And tell me you don't have a different relationship with that door now.
I do. Like the whole day when somebody was coming in and out, I would run down to the door, open it, and make them just stop, pause, and realize that it's closing on its own now. And that's because of me.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
That's my highlight. Today was my highlight. Everything else before today just seems like it was just work in progress.
Right?
It was just work.
Yeah. Fixing things is something that I feel like women need to do more of, not in the ethereal spiritual plane. Like we like to be fixers, like healers, you know, we do that already emotionally.
Yeah.
And we fix lunches and we fix boo-boos, but like repairing things.
Yeah. I get into states where if I get mad, I get angry cleaning. I'm an angry cleaner. Like, same. And I have, like, Al will look up. It's so weird calling him Al. You say, I call him Alan. You guys call him Al, so I'm trying to convert.
You can call him Alan.
No. I know, it sounds weird.
We've heard you call him Alan on the
phone. I call him Alan. I never call him Al. I try to convert. Anyways, he found me out in the garage. I ripped the whole damn thing apart and cleaned the whole thing. I was very angry and upset, and that's where I took my energy out on, and it sparkled. Like, we ate, I think, lunch that day in the garage just because it was so clean.
Off the fucking floor.
But I get in states where, and I'm not patient, and Alan will tell you. Like, I'll try moving the freezer, and I've actually had my hand caught underneath it screaming because, I get into situations where I think I'm stronger than what I am, or that I can do something that I shouldn't. And, like taking down trees in my backyard and hurting my back. And I get into situations. I've been known to hurt myself once or twice.
It's just because you're like, I'm going to do this fucking
thing. I'm doing this. Yeah. I channel Xena one too many times in my life.
How do you feel like that approach, it doesn't sound like it's changed, but has that always been the thread for you? Like, did you start that early or did that happen
very much
later in life?
No. I was, that whole thing stems from birth pretty much. I'm a second born. I have a sister five years older, and I was supposed to be a boy. And I came out and was not one. So the story is that my dad went and he started volunteering to be with the scouts to, help these little boys and stuff like that. So I got in my head real early, I need to be a boy. Like, I need to boy things.
Yeah.
And I very much became a tomboy because of that, and was always proving to myself, to him, to I don't know who, that I could do anything. And I would get into situations where, I would play football. I was not let's go shopping. I remember going shopping with my friends that were girls. And I remember I was the person holding the bags, following them like a puppy in and out of the stores going, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm here and I'm holding your stuff. So
we're friends.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is what we're doing.
That was pretty much, so at a young age, I kind of already had it in my head that I was going to be as tough as I could be. If my girls got in trouble, we were on the dance floor, I would be putting a stop to it. And I was that girl. But I would also naively get myself in trouble. I was also that girl. I was the dumb girl too. Anyways, that's a different story. Holy Hannah, how'd you get me in that?
Oh. Drinking that wine, Tanya. Where do you think that changed?
I have to remind myself that this is being recorded.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the podcast. Let's talk about Letterkenny then. Let's switch gears. That was a nice little intro.
That's good.
We went a little deep. Now we're going to bring it back out.
Pull it.
I'm actually, like, to save us both, I'll just go ahead and ask some listener questions that are in the Letterkenny vein. How about that?
All righty.
Aside from motherhood and being arm candy for an award-winning podcaster, what's the most fulfilling thing in your life right now? What keeps you going?
That's
from Mike.
Holy.
That's not about the podcast. That's deep.
Deep, man. Holy. That's too deep for me. What keeps me going? I have a never-ending need to never quit. Never quit. Even when I want to give up and I want to stop and it hurts and I never give up. Yeah. I have a thing in me that I've had challenges, many challenges in my life. Mm-hmm. And roadblocks and people saying you can't and people say this is where the line stops. And I always try everything I can to push past it.
And it's like, nope, not yeah. today.
Yeah. So, yeah, just never listen to what people try to tell me or put me in the box. I put myself in boxes, mind you. But if somebody else puts me in a box, then I will break out of it somehow.
I'm keeping my own boxes.
Yeah.
Aaron wants to know, which universe character would you have been friends with as a kid, college, and now?
Universe?
Like Letterkenny or Shoresy.
Oh, okay.
So I should have said universe.
Universe. Okay, got you.
So childhood friend, college friend, and a today friend.
Oh, dear.
You want to think about that?
Yeah. Who would I be? Okay. That one's going to take me a bit. No. It would be Derry, childhood friend.
Yeah.
He'd be my childhood friend. I feel like I had friends like Katie in high school.
You were Katie to your high school friends.
No.
You weren't kicking people in the cunts?
No, God, no. No. I was a floater. Who was I? I was not in any of the cliques. I really, really wasn't. I was a floater and how do you tell my story without telling my story? So I failed grade three. The people I started school with, I ended up being separated from. I had to go to a different school. So that really changed my path. And when I went to the other school, I was very much picked on. I was the cootie kid, and went through a year of hell. And then I came back only to still be separated from my friends because they were in the year above me and I was still on the lower grade. So by the time high school came around, they were already there a year before me and the separation already happened. But I had it in my head, I was graduating with my starting class. So I pushed myself to graduate. Again, I have my own boxes in my head that I people told me, no, you can't do this. And I said, forget it. I'm
watch
doing
this.
It. Right. So, I graduated with my starting class. I really didn't have the clicky group, but I know that there was a couple girls that I was around that kind of were Katie-ish, where they were, they knew themselves already. They were very strong. And I kind of tagged along with that sometimes. But then I also had other friends that were struggling because I was a caregiver. I love being around everyone. I was a floater girl, I guess you can say. I wasn't with the cool kids. But I knew who everybody was.
You were cool with them.
Yeah, I knew who everybody was. Where did I go off on that? Oh, so I was left off
who
at Katie.
Would you be friends with
and now
in high
and school? Nat. Oh my God, I love that girl. I love Nat. I don't know whether she'd want to be my friend, but I would want to try to be in her area.
Is that now?
Yeah.
Would that be now?
Yeah, that's now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like she really knows herself and I gravitate to that. I love that kind of personality.
Listen, that's a theme amongst universe women.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the female characters have an element of this self-knowledge. Where do you think that comes from? Like, this is written by a man.
Yeah. But I think it's a love letter to women. It's written by a man, but like we've all said it. Like he writes for women, it's so unbelievably inspiring. And the women are so strong, and they're not strong because of men. They're not strong for men. They're strong in their own right, right?
And not in competition with one another.
No, not at all.
Which is.
There's no cat fight. Well, I guess in the beginning of Letterkenny, there were cat fights. You know, there was Katie certainly was boxing everybody she could get her foot up on. She was,
right. But I feel like it was deserved.
Yeah.
I feel like they were all justified. And I feel like a cat fight is just people being pissy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not. She was pretty liberal with the box shots, though.
She was liberal with the box shots. But she stood, again, she was that type of personality that don't cross her and
fuck around and find out, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary.
So going back.
But
go on.
Scary, but powerful.
Right. Yeah. That came up in a recent, you ever do those professional development quizzes about like who you are at work or and how you work in? So one of my little numbers came up and it said one of the first sentences was like, you might scare people when you compare yourself to them. What? I just hit like strongly sounds like me or doesn't sound like me for 117 questions. And you're telling me I'm scary to people?
Oh, you are not at all.
I am to some, but that's okay. I'm like, I know who I am and I know, right? There's power in that.
Yeah.
So this theme of right that we're talking about, you got to say that to Jared. And I was so, so glad. Like, I want to go back to that moment in Sudbury because we're on it now. And we talked to Kehlani today and he's the reason
he
had her today. Yeah. So if he's listening to this, which he'd be a dumb dumb not to be, with love, respectfully, thank you, Jared,
absolutely,
for encouraging Kehlani to join the produce stand, because that happened on the heels of your basically telling him what we were about to start talking about. So can we just relive that moment together?
and today really did bring all of that back. You know, seeing her and listening to her and hearing her story, and such a wonderful and inspiring woman. It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for him, and it wouldn't have happened. The whole serendipity of, you know, the dominoes of one thing leading to another. It's just, it's pretty incredible. And I said to Alan earlier, you know, please send out a message to Kara message for Jared to let him know how incredibly thankful we are for setting that up and getting these wonderful women to hearing their voices and hearing their stories and feeling the power of all of that is just so incredible. And again, I was a blubbering idiot and couldn't find my words at all.
I can't wait to hear it.
Kehlani, this is what I would have said if I could get up my words.
Okay. Let's redo the interview right now.
Absolutely. Totally.
But like, so when we were in Sudbury though, like, do you remember what you said to Jared and what made you say that? Cause I it's kind of hazy, right? Like the memory of it, but I do remember it was like near the end.
Yeah.
I remember at one point I had even walked away after I got the sweatshirt because I needed like to breathe air.
Yeah.
And then I came around down from the bottom. I think I went to go get an apple from Craft Services. And then I came up and I came down from the arena and up the stairs. Mm-hmm. So like I kind of backtracked and you were there and Michelle was there. And Joey was there. And I see my friends, Miss Molly Romper. And then I don't even know what we're talking about, but you brought something up. Like, do you remember how it started?
I don't think it was me that started it. I think, there were people like kind of in the seats, in the stands, but standing looking and watching. And I was just kind of leaning up against the post the whole time and just kind of watching everybody kind of coming up and having a picture with him. And I just kind of hung out and stood there and watched and was kind of making sure everybody got their photo and
mom.
Yeah, I was momming and off in the side there. And somebody was saying, I think it was, I want to say it was Awesome or Aaron,
right,
saying something about the love letter to women, like you know, how great and how powerful he writes, and I think it was a thank you is how it started. And then I said, oh, you know, you asked if there's anything that you can do, that would be it, to bring on some women actresses. We've had the lady in her name is Elsa. Oh my God, I'm losing her name from the art department. From the art department, she came on and we interviewed her, but we haven't had a lady actress,
right?
It would be so great to have the women actresses, and he said done. And it was just,
I just remember you saying before, like before you even asked him, you just had such high praise for how he, like what you were about to say about how powerful he writes the women and how he writes them individually. And I thought, like, what a great opportunity for you to get to say that to him.
Yeah. I made it very clear to the guys when we were, even before, when we had heard of what we were doing, I said, this is our opportunity. This is where we need to let the girls know that it's a safe place. Like, I'm sure that they get a lot of unsafe contacts from people. And I remember just saying, I just want them to know that this is a safe place. I'm a woman. You know, we're not creeps. You know, we're here to really uplift and support and love and care for this community. Like, this community is, it is a caring community. Like, this is family at its finest, right? On how everyone supports one another and
at scale.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my mission, was to get that message out there and hopefully get some women to come on the podcast and be able to interview and be able to hear from them and experience that side of things, right? So
what a privilege it was to be there with you for all that.
I woke up just so bloody excited. And I can't believe I just got so tongue-tied. I've been beating myself up on that.
No.
Like, oh,
no, you and Al got to quit that shit.
What shit?
You're human.
Oh,
the beating yourself up for being human.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is from a former...
No, the boys got it.
Self-flatulator. Like, this is not me. This is not old hat. This is fresh new learning after a year and a half in therapy, Casey. Like, I haven't had a lot of practice at it, but the practice that I have had has been beneficial. Hard because you have to rewire so much. Like, people don't understand what has to go on in the background and the breaking down of a self identity that has protected you and carried you. Like, normal people don't understand the lift that takes in order to break through the language and to break through that narrative.
I always say that it's like when a child falls, your instinct to go and reach out for the child. I'm like, my instinct is to do that. My instinct, my brain tells me to, it triggers on things and it reacts to things faster than I can override it, because that's not healthy. The triggers and the reactions aren't healthy ones. And when you do the therapy and when you do the work and when you're trying to stop that pattern, it's so difficult. It's ridiculous how hard it is to break past those walls, right?
It takes so much energy and it has to happen under the surface. Like, there's no playing it out that feels safe until you feel safe. Does it?
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So all of that to say, maybe this is a good opportunity for you to practice a little bit of that on yourself.
Absolutely.
And not worry about the Kehlani interview and stop criticizing yourself about it, because I can guarantee you, I don't know what's going on in the chat right now, but nobody agrees with you on that point.
I thank you. Thank you so much. You're so you're very kind. And you're right. The kindness starts with yourself, right? And
well, it's because I care for you deeply.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be kind or nice. I care about you and Al and everybody that we traveled with in a way that I didn't think was possible.
I know.
Like, to care for people.
Yeah.
And so, like, not a mom thing, but I would say the same things to my children, to my best friends. Like, don't talk to my friend that way.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my friend that way. That's not nice.
Oh, love you.
I love you. With that, Sudbury said, I'll bring in a listener question.
Okay.
Robbie asks, whose idea was it to switch shirts in the bathroom?
That was totally me. And it was like weeks and weeks and weeks. I had already had it planned. I already knew what I was going to do before I even did it. Before you even knew, before we even talked about it.
This wasn't a spur of the moment thought.
You've no, been God,
concocting
no.
this.
No, I had. Yeah, no, I totally Fess did. Up. Because you said to me, I don't even remember where or when. It could have even been at the after party. You had asked permission if you could smack my ass at some point.
I did ask.
At the dancing or whatever. And I'm like, hell yeah. So,
which I never did.
When we did other things. So when you said that, I'm like, oh, we're going to do more than that. Cause I had already had that's when you triggered that conversation. If you remember it, now you will. That conversation, I'm like, oh, we're going to switch shirts. We're going to pull a Bonnie and Miss McMurray and we're going to the bathroom and we are so doing that, like on the cheek, you know, the wipe and the boob.
No, you did. Cause I remember when you presented it, it was like, we're doing it. And you even in the bathroom before we stepped out, you were like, okay, so I'm going to do this. And you're going to do this. And we're going to walk out.
It's all premeditative.
But at the time I was in such like delight about everything that was happening that I, you know, when you don't realize what's happening until afterward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now looking back on that, I'm like, oh shit, Tanya, you did have that shit. Because you were on a mission.
Well, I didn't say anything until I knew. Okay, yeah, this girl's good. This girl's gonna. This is gonna be cool. This is gonna be good. They're gonna work. Because I had to know that it was gonna work. And it worked.
Do you know that to date, you are the only other woman that I have swapped shirts with.
Oh my!
I never did it in high school with my friends. Like it wasn't a thing. You were.
I don't think I've done it either. Person. I'm trying to think. I don't entirely know.
Like, didn't you grow up though with this assumption that like girls would like wear each other's clothes because they were the same size or borrow each other's shoes?
I
was never that girl.
My girlfriends. So I grew up with I have a girlfriend that I've known since kindergarten. We were five. We lived two doors up from each other. And my other friend, her and I, we've been friends since grade six and we're still just as close as we ever were. And they are tiny and I'm not. They are like little itty bitty, like 100 pound short little 5 foot one little girls. And I am not. I'm 5'9". If anyone's ever seen me, I'm 5'9" and more along the lines of 100
fucking pounds. Rocket.
So I remember there was now I'm telling stories. There was a night that one of my girlfriends, her boyfriend and her broke up, went over to her apartment. It was supposed to be like just chill, have tacos, drink, chill night. Of course. And we were in sweats and then all of a sudden the plan changed and she's like, we're going to the bar instead. And I'm like, I'm not dressed for the bar. So she went into, and I tried on everything of her, ended up being like this black lace lingerie dress, but it wasn't a dress. It was lingerie. And she's like, oh, you can pull it off because I used to be like 120 pounds. And so she's like, we're doing this. And so that's what we ended up doing. We went out that night and I went drink for drink with them. And we came back and they passed out. They were fine. And I was not. I was not. I was in the bathroom all night long. Oh, I'm no. like, yeah, this isn't. Yeah, I can't go hardcore with them. And they were, yeah. So, yeah, whenever I'm like Dickens, like when we have pictures, I'm always like the tallest.
The tallest.
I'm like double their size. Yeah. So I never traded shirts. That wasn't a thing. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah. No, I same. Like I was an athlete in high school. I played volleyball. I played softball. Yeah. I'm shoulders yeah. and arms. I have 7-inch wrists, like my bone structure. And in high school, I was 175 and I felt fat because I was bigger than everybody else. I was an athlete. I was in shape.
Muscle.
But I didn't come from a family of athletes. I had nobody telling me that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was 96. Mm-hmm. Like it was Monica Lewinsky time. It wasn't like women empowerment. You rock. It was, was Monica.
Yeah.
So when I didn't know how it was going to go, but I was excited to try. Were we in vintage in the closet together before that or after that?
Before that.
It was before that.
It was okay, before
so the
that.
Bathroom was the second time. The first time I was in a closet with
I can't believe how fast that all happened too. I don't even, again, I'm a bit spontaneous when it comes to something funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, that dress was, it was just too fantastic to not just jump on right away and grab it.
Oh my God.
I didn't even look at the tag to see what size it was before I committed going in.
Nobody cares.
I just thank God you were on the other side of that door because I was like, oh, shit.
I wasn't on the other side of the door, Tanya. Oh, you? I was like in the aisle, like in the other room, like in the front part.
I don't even know what was happening on the other
side. I just heard help. You yell, Casey, help me. And I jumped and ran.
Oh, my God.
I scurried
through the store. That was so funny.
By the way, I just want to take this moment and mention Cult of Vintage was one of the victims of the Sudbury downtown fire.
So
if you follow at Downtown Sudbury on Instagram, they actually posted an interview with the manager and owners of the Colson.
Oh, did they?
And it's worth a follow and did a post they? And a retweet and a donation if you have time.
Yeah.
But that's where we tried on the dress.
Yes.
Like literally weeks before the fire.
And Alan just actually referenced to me earlier tonight that they have a pop-up store or
yep.
yeah, Michelle posted something that they have a location kind of set up as a temporary
I don't know
spot.
Where that is, but I'm sure that we'll be able to get it out on Twitter as a follow-up.
I hope they didn't. I was so sad to hear that news and what a great experience that we had in the store and not only that phenomenal dress and our funny situation of being centaurs, but also meeting Bonnie there.
Bonnie McMurray.
That whole situation that led up to us going in and her being there and speaking with her and how wonderful she was to take. I'm sure we shocked the hell out of all of us coming into the store and kind of circling around her.
Christine told her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christine told her that there were.
But how do you prepare for that? How do you? That's a little overwhelming, I'm sure.
Say there's 12 people coming.
Yeah. They're going to circle you.
They're going to slack jaw and stare at you.
Yeah.
Really creepily with big eyes.
Yeah. I hoped they didn't lose all those beautiful, like so much memory, so much history, so much phenomenal fashion that was in that store. And I did go back. I don't know whether I told you or not, but I went back the day we
did
went
you?
to the day we went to Peppy paninis to have lunch, I went across the street and my mission was buying that dress. I didn't care that it didn't fit. I was going to figure out a way to like do like the laces on the back or something. And again, I plan ahead. So my idea was I wasn't going to tell anybody. I was going to buy the dress and then I was going to wear it for Halloween. And I was going to take a picture and send it to everyone that I had it. that was my plan. And it was locked. It was closed. I was like, very.
Because that was Sunday.
Yeah. So we didn't get back and hopefully they didn't lose everything because there was phenomenal clothes in there. And what a great memory though we had regardless. And we have that wonderful centaur picture.
Yes. And I actually, in my folder, I have some pictures that in our shared drive from the trip, I have some pictures of that. What was it? That like creamsicle?
Yes. Creamsicle. Knitted thing. Yes. I am positive I had an outfit like that. And wore it religiously once a week. And I definitely had that outfit. But you know what? We should probably reference why I keep on saying centaur. So the dress that was chosen for me.
This is back to the story. Right. So I run over to the door.
Yeah.
And I come in.
Yes. Invited in, come in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is not closing. I have a shoulder problem still, as I've mentioned before. And I'm like, I'm not getting this done up. And so you came to the rescue and got at least my underwear covered. And then you held me close.
Like, it's fine. Just let's cover your underwear.
No, just don't turn around.
I'll hold it together.
You held it together and ducked down. I'm surprised you didn't go under my skirt just to hide yourself.
Oh, I would have, but we were in public. I want that to be a special moment just for us.
So you were back there and I had the dress and I opened the skirt and it was just such a great dress. Such a great dress. There's a fabulous photo that was taken and you have your black boots on and all you see is me and then like a foot behind me a pair of boots, so it looks like I'm a centaur and that became the running joke of the, and I think it came up later that the next day something about centaur and I'm like, oh my god, it circled back again. That word out of any word circled back somehow. So it was the best joke. And you made it happen.
We made it happen.
And then we backed into the change room because there was no way I was turning around.
That's right. I forgot we backed up.
I want to see the video. I
just thought of watching that all go down.
And it didn't dawn on me until much, much later. What the hell was I thinking? Like, again, there was no thought. It was just spontaneous, funny laugh that was going to happen from this. And I remember the camera guy again. Where was I? I wasn't thinking.
God bless Nick. Ryan said.
I remember as I was going in and in passing, and he's like, "Let me know when you come out." And I'm like, "Okay." And then I'm like, "Again, it didn't dawn on me. This whole thing is going to be videoed." I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for a laugh. I'm doing this for my friends. And we're going to have a great time. And wait a second. What do you mean this is being videotaped? I forgot. That's happening.
I forgot.
Oh, man.
Just now.
This
is the problem with being a Gen Xer, right? Because we did all of this shit. We had our hijinks and we didn't have to worry about anything.
Never worried about it. No.
We didn't have to. We could be like,
many things
out, Mom. I couldn't call you. There was no phone.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we got
you
away.
You didn't have to worry about anything like that. No.
No.
It was just spontaneous, laugh, fun.
Right.
Have a good time
and then
the memory of it And that's
right.
Yeah.
And now
there's video.
Now our dumbasses are just living our lives in a world where everything is recorded.
I don't even know if all of the feathering I was doing with the skirt was very feathery. I'm like, how far up did I go with that? Did I like do a little can-can? I don't even know what I did. I know I was very excited and it was a great laugh and a fabulous dress. And I'm glad you were there for me.
I'm glad I was there. I'm glad everybody got to see it. And I am glad that there is video. I'll
yes, I really like, actually now want to see
it. I'm a modern woman. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait.
I hope that we can see that one. I hope that they, because I found, because we were being followed, I feel like I just didn't bring out my camera the way I would have. I usually have my camera always out. I usually have the film videos usually going. Right. But I defaulted to, oh, it's being done. Why am I doing it? So I already have a camera in my face. Why do I want another one? Yeah.
I have a question that I'll put in our WhatsApp for Ryan, because I would sign whatever they wanted me to sign. And I think Al said the same thing. Like, just give us the raw footage and then like, I'll make us a montage. Like, you don't even have to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll sign whatever you want me to sign.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it would be
the 12 of us would have to sign it probably.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a great keepsake for sure.
let's go question. Want to go question?
Yeah. Go for
it. YYZ Gord.
What? Hi, Gord.
You okay?
I have a fruit fly attacking me and my wine.
That is what one of my best gay friends in college called me. He said, fruit fly. Honey, it's better than being called a fag hag. And I was like, oh that's right. I'll take fruit fly any day. It was the 90s. I know that's not PC, but he said it, buddy. So the question is, knowing that you started out as a Letterkenny skeptic, mm-hmm. what was it that finally turned you around? Was it a specific moment that you can think of, or was there a gradual transition?
As I started, I became invested in the characters, and I know the moment it happened, which was, it was ironic because it was the same moment that I didn't want to watch the show, which was Fart Book. I based my decision on not liking the show because of that episode when I walked in not knowing who the characters were, thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I think the cats were farting. I don't know. It was stupid. And then when I had started watching it, and it's not that many episodes in before that it's episode like happened.
Three, I think. Yeah.
But I already, you know, didn't understand who the skids were. They're strung out, they're dancing, weird music.
Greasy.
No one likes them. But I think, had it already happened too, where Tannis had ripped Stuart apart? Was that scene two or second one? Anyways.
I don't know. That's an awesome question.
It was like they had already, you already know that the skids are, you know, no good. But then all of a sudden, that whole Fart Book flipped the script where they were needed, that they were being asked for help, that they were contributing, and that there was, you know, a relationship there, and that they were more than just these strung out people that were dancing at the convenience store. So that's when I changed my thought that, okay, that the show is different. And then as those relationships built and as there was more support for the community, for one another, and that, you know, when a friend needs, when a friend asks for help, you help them.
That's right.
And I can totally get behind that. And when Wayne started saying that, you know, the Fart Book is not good, and Twitter, like, he was waiting for a phone call from the internet, and I'm like, totally, I can totally relate to that, because I am not an internet person by any means. And and then I think the Dicks came in on the scene, and they're just hilarious, and like, how can you not think that's funny? Right. And yeah, had so much fun and entertained with their relationship. And again, with the whole internet thing and my job and getting at the time, like, you know, 200 messages, emails a day and just being bombarded, you know, being Amish really looked like a good idea.
Yeah. Huck it, they run.
Yeah. So I think that's when things started changing in my mind. That, and it was the pandemic. So I was pretty much, it was my outlet in all
going anywhere.
Yeah. It was my savior with everything that was going on in the world. It was my one place to unplug. I wasn't a mom. I wasn't, you know, a wife per se. You know, I was just chatting and talking and, finding it strange that people were listening to my conversation.
Wild, right?
How
quick was the growth for you? Like, because, you know, I don't listen to podcasts, and I try to go back and listen, but I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
But what was the trajectory like for you? Like, how did it feel?
I remember.
I'm not talking numbers.
Yeah.
But how did it feel?
No, I remember the number. I remember at the beginning. Oh, I remember it being like seven people. Well, and I'm also with accounting and stuff. So I've had many roles, many hats. And I remember there were seven people, and I remember distinctly thinking, okay, there's me, there's Alan, there's Matt, there's Victor. Okay. And then who else? Who else has listened? And then you're trying to count, okay, well, who have we told, and who, like, I didn't tell my own sister until a year in. Cause I was like, I know it was the whole thing. I know, I understand it, but at the same time, it's a private, I felt like it was a conversation that I was just having about a show. I didn't really.
Like, why are you gonna, why does anybody else want to listen to
And then
this?
I remember it was the very first, it was, there was a listener that had sent a message, and the message was, I was listening to you on the way to work. And I thought, holy shit, who the hell is listening to me, to babbling on the way to work? That is just a mind fuck. That's just, that was strange. That was strange.
And now you're like over like 4,000 followers.
Is it now?
On Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's Alan, Matt, Victor. Alan was the podfather. He thought this whole thing up and set the wheels in motion and puts the time in, puts the work in, puts the, even though he doesn't edit. This is his baby very much. And I've just enjoyed the ride.
What do we always say about Al, though?
I say many things. You have to be more specific.
He's really good at getting people to do his good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knew he needed you in a million different ways, right? But he knows that this isn't the podcast without each of you individually, and you're a huge part of that. That's not lip service. That's facts, because the pod without you, or without Matt, or without Victor, has a different dynamic.
Yeah.
And there's something special when all four of you together, and you're the heart, like you're you. So don't discredit that. Because Al knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
When he brought you in.
I questioned him so many times. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is what, I don't like the show. Why are you asking me? I am not that person.
Leave me alone.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
All it took was a global pandemic.
There you go. Where are you going tonight?
Easy peasy. Al goes, I couldn't have planned this better myself.
Yeah.
Ugh. Barb asks, which Letterkenny character do you most relate to, and what aspects of that character do you relate to the most? This is an excellent question, Cassie.
Male, it would be Wayne. Because again, for reasons I said before, him with the internet and you know, helping out a friend and working on the farm and just being busy and
also being tough as nails.
Yeah, you know, but I don't feel like I am. I think I am, but I don't feel like I am, if that makes any sense. Yeah. I definitely try to come off as tough as nails, but I am totally, I'm not. It's just all a show.
That's pretty Wayne, though.
I guess it
he
is.
He gets emotional. He's holding some stuff down, too.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. Yeah, so I think it would be Wayne.
Excellent choice. Yeah. A female?
Who I'd...
Only because you said... You led with male Wayne. I felt like there was a comma.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, who would I be girl? If she was toned down, it would be Gail. It would be Gail. I definitely have some crudeness in me, and I sometimes let it out.
And you know what, though? That makes sense, too, because every time you see Wayne and Gail on screen, there's a sweetness there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what that's like you on the podcast.
Yeah.
And everyone would agree, including Erin, who has our next question again. Okay. She says, quote, Tanya, you are an absolute light. It is an honor to know you and hear you share your thoughts every week. You are the consummate caretaker and have a talent for making people feel loved. If someone were to take care of you for one day, what would you want that day to look like?
Oh my.
This is an excellent question, Erin.
That is. I love it. Erin, that is so, you're so, I love your words. I love your words. Oh, she was so great. Erin, you were great to meet. Definitely there's food involved. There is some great food explosions.
Food explosion.
Yeah. I love food. I love the taste. I've been told like tap out. And I remember being in Portugal and having something so great and knowing that this moment is never going to happen ever again in my life and not wanting it to end, but so being so full that you're going to throw up. But so it would have to absolutely be around food, like really good food.
What was the food that made you almost throw up?
I don't know whether it was beef now or pork, but it was definitely mushrooms and a sauce, and it was like, and with potatoes, and oh my God, it was so good. Like the meat was just fall apart and the mushrooms and the sauce and it was magical. It was magical.
It's like Hobbit food. Oh. Like really good Hobbit food, it sounds.
Yeah.
That's not an insult.
It's definitely how I would be pampered. I would definitely have food involved. Okay. Definitely have some sort of water sound, waterfall, feet in trickling water, birds, breeze, earth, nature. I would probably, I don't do boredom very well. I have to still keep myself busy. So I'd probably have to create something in some way, whether it's painting or not that I'm a painter, please. Nuh-uh. I am a paint by numbers and I started it during the pandemic. It was quite fun and I did not go back to it. So it's half done. But yeah, definitely something to do with the water, something to do with ocean sound, brook, something, and food. That would be perfect.
Have you ever tried watercolor painting?
No, that would not be, I don't feel like that would be my thing. I like flowy thingies, but, I'm also a perfectionist. And so like being in the lines and I don't know whether I could let watercolor just kind of, probably. I don't know.
So there are, it's not like the old school watercolors that the kids use where the water like builds up and it drips everywhere. Yeah. You can actually like control the thickness, the viscosity of the watercolor, and you can control it. Like I painted bamboo and
nice.
Like there's an element of like, you have to let go, but you can be precise.
Oh, nice.
And it's how you mix the color. I think you'd like it.
All right.
I took a class online during the pandemic with one of my best friends who teaches in LA County schools. We were best friends since middle school, and she was doing this online watercolor class. And so every Sunday or Monday night, I can't remember what it was, I would log in to Zoom. The boys would be watching TV and I would just be literally doing watercolor class.
Love that.
It was so much fun. We did the same class twice.
Yeah.
Like, we just took it again.
I'm going to have a look in my area and see if we have something like that.
You should. It's a great way to, like, meet people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, or do one of those sip and paint things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
That would be fun. We should do that next time we come up to Sudbury.
Yes, yes.
Sudbury sip and paint. Wait.
Wait. It's coming.
Wait. I am copywriting that idea if it doesn't exist.
All right. We're bringing sip and
I'm just saying.
We're bringing sip to Sudbury.
Sudbury sip and splash. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Now I'm derailing. I'm supposed to be in charge here. Holy.
Or I'm the exact opposite of what I just said. And I'm like doing like archery and like dodgeball archery and going full core and having people. Let me hit them. Actually, don't let me hit you. I'm going to hit you because I'm going to hit you.
Right. Because things happen and you get into situations. So we're not joining the circus knife throwing exhibit yet this time around. No. let's see. I want to make sure. Mike asks again, Mike, New Jersey, Mike, if you were to start your own podcast, what would the topic be? In other words, what are you passionate enough about to plan and talk about for at least an hour?
I know what it is. And if somebody takes my idea, please invite me. I know what it is. So I've said it over and over and over again what I want to do. So I want to do www.www, which is Wine with Women podcast, where I have wine with women. But not in a whining way, wine, like drinking.
Yeah.
And I want to have a panel of women that we talk about different things. Mm. And we bring in other women that we admire and look up to and want to hear from. And we totally just inspire one another and support one another. And I've mentioned it before. I went to a vagina monologue once, and I enjoyed it so much and felt so much woman empowerment. And I love the support, and I loved usually there's cattiness with women, and there was none of that. It was just I just had that overwhelming feeling to hug everyone that was in that room and to really uplift one another. Yeah. So I would want to definitely do a podcast where it's women supporting. And I have so many great conversations with my gal pals. And I always say, oh my God, this would be just too much fun to have a recording of.
Record,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Well, Tanya copyrights that idea.
Yes.
For anybody listening. So.
There you go. Invite me.
Yeah, invite her. Sweet sassy molasses. I don't know who your name is, what your name is, but I hope the weed's kicking in. That's for you, Matt. Question for Tanya. What is her favorite Excel trick? Oh, one. What trick do you use the most? Molasses is a big fan of the new Power Queries and probably uses Concat the most. Do you understand that?
Man, you are over my skill set there. What was it? Molasses. I am learning a whole bunch of new tricks from my new boss.
Nice.
I'm in a course right now and I am only halfway through, so I really can't tell you. I had to flip from Excel to Google Sheets, which I'm still cursing because it's not doing the same thing that Excel does. Excel is far superior.
Yes.
So I've kind of been away from Excel for a while. But I can't say what I love the most, but I know what I've made. I remember my first time working in Excel, and I ended up making, I ran for my company. We had a contract for the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation. And I don't know whether I can say that or not. But anyways, it doesn't matter. You don't know who the company is.
No one cares.
I ran 19 locations and supported them for a particular thing. I won't say that thing. So I used Excel to track and catalog all of my materials that I needed for each of the locations. So I had this whole spreadsheet where I had an index page for all the locations, and then you hyperlinked from the hyperlink. I guess hyperlink would be my favorite thing in Excel. Hyperlinked all of my locations to the page. I had photos that were in the page. I had my material list. I had my inspection list. I had my labor. I had everything in that bad boy. It was beautiful. Just a beautiful, beautiful spreadsheet.
So I had a designer friend, colleague at work tell me that she was using InDesign to do like a visual flow, or she was getting ready to do a chart of some sort. And I was like, ooh, Excel. Like, I got excited. And she was like, oh, no. I'm going to make it graphic. And I didn't want to like argue with her because we were on a walk and we were having a good time. But in my head, I was like, oh, you can do that in Excel.
Yeah, totally.
Just like you can drop it. There's so much. Oh, and then you can like shape it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I love a good spreadsheet. Yeah. Oh, the spreadsheets, circling back to Letterkenny, the guys in the, trailer, help me.
The AD.
Thank you, AD.
The AD trailer, the assistant director trailer that we were just, you know, casually hanging out.
Their spreadsheets turned me on. They were phenomenal. They were, and our girl, Christine. Who and her spread, and when I saw, my heart skipped a beat when I saw the sunrise and the sunset, because that's what I do.
Yes.
I love that detail. When I saw that, I was like, oh, she's my friend. Like,
yes. This is soulmate.
She
level
doesn't
behavior.
Know me yet, but we're friends now.
That's right.
I'm like, that's the
I
first
love
thing
how creepy you're comfortable being. It's like my creepy recognizes your creepy, because I've definitely said that shit before. Like, they don't know it, but we're friends
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. As soon as I saw it, because that's what I do when I go somewhere, I want to know what time, like when we went to Newfoundland, I was like, okay, what time's the sunrise and sunset? And I mapped them out because I wanted to know when can we see, like, we're on the ocean. If we're at the eastest coast, I want to see that sunrise the first time it hits the, and anyways, that didn't work out because damn RV. But anyways, that's a different
story. That RV. But also, thank you to that RV.
Totally. Totally.
Right.
Yep.
Because that was the first takeover that we didn't know was happening. You want to talk about powerful stuff. Have you thought about that recently?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I just said it today. I'm like, can you believe that it was less than a year ago that we went to Newfoundland? It wasn't even 12 months ago. We were
when
there.
When was it?
We went July of last year.
Wow.
Yeah. Which we haven't hit July yet. So yeah, it's not been a year yet. I know. It's, it seems like so long ago that we had that experience.
A lot has happened.
Yeah.
A lot has happened. A really short time. So you're telling me.
You've been to Sudbury twice during that time.
July was the first takeover. And then we did about four takeovers before we did our first Sudbury trip.
Yep.
And that's when we met the first time.
I remember
5 months later.
I remember listening to the takeover team in the car because we had a 4-hour drive that was unexpected from our location where the RV left us. and I had to be driven back to St. John's. And I remember and being in a state, a different mindset. And I remember Alan giving me his earbuds and saying, "Here, listen to the Takeover Team." And you guys stayed with me for that drive. Yeah. Yeah. You guys did great.
When you guys came home and we heard that, I remember feeling like overwhelmed by the unknown impact that it made. Like just to hear you guys, it was so crazy to hear that it was like really helpful for you guys. We just were having fun. Like we were like kids in a sandbox. Like we had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You guys, like, we had no clue. Such a great job.
We were just playing in the sandbox and being stupid little kids. And when you guys came home and talked about the trip, I just remember thinking like, oh my God, like it's like when you fix your door, like we did something for you guys that was more than what we realized we wanted to do. Like we knew we wanted to help. And we can do this. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And we had a great time.
And that script at the beginning where you guys are like pretending that you're breaking into the house. That was amazing. That was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun to produce. It was fun to have the soundboard. Like it was just fun. Like I just remember when Al said there was a soundboard and then he handed it over. I was like, I got the radio DJ in me was like, soundboard. But the impact that we didn't know we were having for you guys, I think was that first feeling of connectedness that I didn't know what it was then. And to look back on that now is like, wow. This was always sort of a meant to be thing. Just the way that things have progressed.
You guys brought us, you brought me to tears and you gave Alan, I remember hearing him laughing, laying and listening to you guys. And it was
that fantastic. Alone was a gift for us to know that, like for me, I won't speak for everybody, but I'm pretty sure I can. For me personally, to know that that's what happened for you guys, that was a gift for me because it was like, oh, like, the people are listening to me. On the way to work.
Right? It's a mind fuck.
The hosts of this podcast that we just sort of took over had an emotional made a difference on their trip. So that same thing that you guys harnessed right in the early days of your podcast translates, and this is the thread, Tanya, like, because we talk about it from being in Sudbury and the thread that ties everything together and how at home we felt on set because Jared creates that.
Oh, does he? Ever?
Right. Yeah. With the people that he chooses to bring close to him.
Yeah.
And it's the same, you know, it attracted the same people, namely you four and Dean and Tiara. And then the listeners came, and then it's
spread.
I wish I could articulate, I could have articulated that to him in a way that didn't sound like psycho.
There's no words though. It's an experience. It's a feeling. It's a connection that runs deeper than any words can really.
It's spiritual. Like it's on a soul level.
Yeah,
and that's what trips me out because it's a tangible soul level thing. And I'm still not, I haven't reconciled that yet. The only thing that I have is the proof, right? The pictures. Like I can go back to the photos and go, yes, Tanya and I did change shirts in the bathroom. That did happen. That wasn't a fever dream.
Come here. Let's go.
Are we doing it now? Okay. You're damn. Like those. I feel like I turned into one of those white fuzzy puppies that the rich people walk around that are just always constantly like happy to be there and will sit when told, but super excited. That's how I felt all weekend. And whenever you called my name, I was like, what? And then when Jared walked in the room, I was like,
no, you made him laugh.
We all made him laugh. He was delighted
to
be around us, and we were equally delighted. And I think that's the thread, right? Like, we're all equally, I think, I don't know if you mentioned it or Al mentioned it, but like, you did. The fact that, like, at the end of the podcast, we always thank each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, well, I don't hear that. When do you hear that on any other podcast?
Yeah.
So kudos to you. We are way over, and I told Al that we weren't going to hit the 2-hour mark, and we are. I said it'll be a little over, but we're there.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'll see if there are.
Any I was going to do something questions. That he was going to force him to have to edit. Oh man! But I couldn't think of anything. I was like, oh, I'm going to force him to. Anyway, sorry. Go.
It's tough being perfect. It just is. It's hard. It makes life so much easier for everybody. I'm looking in the live stream right now to see if anybody has any. Are there any last minute questions from the live streamers? Let's see. We'll give them a few minutes. Meanwhile, let's talk about what's happening next week. Do you know what's happening next week? I guess I could look it up.
There's another interview, and I think I want to say it's Monday, Blair, I think.
Excellent.
I think it's Monday.
Blair on Monday.
And then, I don't know what's happening Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
I don't
know. Oh, maybe it's Ag Hall.
Is it? Really?
No, we already did one.
I feel like an Ag Hall is coming up in July. Don't we usually do one in July for like, Canada Day and
Canada Day, Jared's
4th of July?
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, no, there is an egg haul. No. I'm wrong. There is an egg haul coming up, but it's early in the morning and it's on a Saturday morning for us.
Oh, it's the International Egg Haul.
International Egg Haul. Yes.
For our friends across the pond.
Yes. 7:30
Jack
in the morning.
Will be there.
Saturday, 7:30 on a Saturday. And I wrote it on my other calendar.
East Coast time. It's going to be brunch. I'm going to make an early brunch.
Nice.
That's exciting.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so excited. That is going to be so much fun.
So I may have really great things coming up.
I may have to wear my unicorn.
Oh, hell yeah.
Although I still haven't fixed the zipper on that from the Halloween and with trick or treat. But I took the treat a little too far.
Uh-oh. Did you wash it? Is this like a McMurray Santa suit situation?
No, it was purely innocent. I went in my unicorn onesie, and I went with the neighbor, and his little girl, and our little girl went out, and we were, and then all of a sudden, my zipper, like from stem to stern, decided to break. And so I had to hold it. Thankfully I had a tank top underneath. But yeah, I only had undies on. So it was definitely a hold it shut situation.
I'm sorry. I missed that one.
You were there you got more than that, girl.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Thank you. I
adore spending time with you. I love getting to talk to you. I feel like we're soul sisters, and absolutely. I can't wait till I get to spend time with you again. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with your devoted listeners?
Oh my, don't give me a swollen head. I can't, I couldn't. I thank you to everyone for writing, your questions. Thank you for the great questions. I again, just love and, best wishes to everyone. Thank you so much for supporting, the produce stand, and for listening, and for being such a great community. Like, truly, you know, one reflects the other, and we couldn't be who we are without you. And you know, you were brought together because of us. So the two, really, it's the chicken and the egg, right? It's it's love goes both ways. And to you, Casey, thank you so much. I was so looking forward to today. I miss you terribly. The connection that we had in Sudbury, I can't wait to see you again. And I'm so appreciative that it was you that did the questions. And I was a little nervous. I was didn't quite know what tonight was going to be. And hopefully I kept all of my dirty little secrets. It's still a secret. So,
but I don't remember. I'm
fine. Thank you so much for being so gentle with me, darling.
No, I love you.
And yeah, thank you so much. It was a wonderful night. Thank you.
Good. It's my pleasure. And you're welcome. We have a special song tonight.
Excellent.
Your husband picked it. This is Glory Me. Oh, no. Everything You've Done Wrong by Sloan.
Yes.
It's one of your only.
I ask
your favorite songs, right?
Sloan is his favorite, and this is one of my favorite songs of Sloan. Yes. But I love all music, truly.
That is all we have for tonight. Thank you to everybody who joined us tonight and listening. Thank you to Al for setting up the live stream. And thank you to everyone for your questions. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kehlani. Go be kind to somebody. Go make somebody laugh. And don't forget to give our sponsor, Diabolical Coffee, some love. They are at diabolicalcoffee.com. Right now, you can use the promo code PRODUCESTAND for 20% off any purchase from their site. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can rate us on iTunes, Spotify, or become a patron. And you're going to want to do that because why are you going to sit on the Kehlani Rose interview? Like, why are you going to wait a week? Do it now. There's a Patreon link on our site. You can find us everywhere online at Produce Stand Pod. Thank you for joining us. Now, Tanya and I are going to go change shirts and head to the after party on behalf of her, myself, and all the TPS crew and the Takeover crew. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Yeah.